Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation about the Squirrel Cage Jail and the Rails West Railroad Museum with Kat Slaughter. The Squirrel Cage Jail in Council Bluffs, Iowa, is just minutes away from the old Rock Island Depot, now known as the Rails West Railroad Museum. Their histories are very different, yet they share a very distinct similarity. They are both very haunted. Today on The Grave Talks, we'll talk about the museum's hauntings with museum director Kat Slaughter. And I've heard of full body apparitions there.
Yes, there's been a few photographs captured over the years, just a couple, but it looks like the same shape each time, which is exciting.
Do they think they have any...
a jailer?
Could be a jailer?
Yes. We think that's also why things aren't too crazy for us, is that there's still a jailer on staff, which we appreciate.
That makes some sense, doesn't it? Because if there are other people hanging around there that were the inmates, you've got to have somebody, you know, and this was their career. There wasn't that many people that worked there to this day. When you think of from 1885 to now. So I would imagine the jailers were very connected to their jobs.
Oh, definitely. And you're never off shift there, really. You would just go upstairs and, you know, people don't get arrested at, you know, 9 to 5. They're getting arrested usually around 2 in the morning. And so even if he's gone upstairs, let's say at 11 o'clock, which seems a little early for him, you're probably getting up multiple times a night to let inmates in. So you're putting a lot of energy and work into this place.
And there wouldn't be like, let's just go on vacation to Disneyland. You know, you still need someone to stay there. Like that would just be your job. You know,
you do know one set of jailers called in their in-laws to come take care of it while they went on vacation.
Because who else is going to do it? That's so interesting to me. And it just feels like a place where I get the concept of this jail, but it also seems like it would be hell to have been an inmate there.
It would have been brutal. Like if you just, I know it's hard, set aside the structure of the building for a second. The temperatures in there are so unforgiving. It's very hot in the summers, very cold in the winters, even today. We'll get some ice on the windows just because it gets so cold. So it's that single panel window. They weren't going to put extra on there. There's bars across it. That's all they needed. The kitchen where the jailer's wife would do all of the cooking, it got up to 114 degrees once in the summer.
Wow. I mean, that's just brutal.
Yeah, conditions were horrible for everyone.
And it's not like anybody can, you know, if... Did they just yell for help? Like, I need water? Or was there a system to get the jailer's attention if they needed help?
They did do regular checks. So there'd be a morning check and they'd be let out. If you're well-behaved, you get to be outside the cage for a majority of the day. And then meals would be given to them. Originally 2, later on it's 3. And there'd be grub holes that you'd pass a tray through. And then you are letting inmates in or out throughout the day as they go to either the court or you get new arrestees coming in. And then in the evening, there would be dinner and then a final bed check.
It's just so fascinating to me, all of that, that whole structure. I can't wait to come see it. So my guess is that they've picked up on some, or do you feel it, that there's some negative energy in the building?
I know some people have picked up on that. I haven't personally. I feel very comfortable in the building, but I could also just be crazy at this point and blocking it out. But they also know me. I have been there for 7 years. Mm-hmm. The teams that come in, they do get swear words quite often, but you are in a jail and they'll get out and things like that, but nothing aggressive in like a frightening manner, I guess, or at least not to me.
Good. Because if seriously, if it would be that way, you wouldn't have made it 7 years.
I highly doubt it.
I highly doubt it.
The jail's creepy enough on its own.
Now, so there's two museums there, and the other one is the Rails West Railroad Museum. And you are the director of both of these museums?
I am. I stay busy.
You do. That's a lot of work. Are they in close proximity to each other?
Yes. Luckily, they're on the same street. They're maybe 3 minutes away by car. I'm very lucky.
But you still can't be in two places at one time. So sometimes I bet it gets a little, you're juggling a lot.
We get busy, but we have a very dedicated staff and volunteers.
Good.
We couldn't do it without them.
And the railways, I said it wrong again, Rails West Museum is an interesting name to me. Was that the name of the line or something?
So it would have been Rock Island originally. It was built in 1899. As time goes on, though, multiple lines ended up going through there. So one waiting room was used for Rock Island lines, and then other lines shared the second waiting room. And they named it Rails West, from what I understand, because they wanted to talk about the history of all the railroads in Council Bluffs and not just focus on one or two. We were a huge area for rail traffic. Everybody stopped there. It was the eastern terminus in Council Bluffs. And originally, you had to get off the train there, get on a riverboat to get across to Omaha. But later on, bridges were built, making that a little bit easier for passengers. But this was just a huge connected area. You could get pretty much anywhere in the United States by getting on train here in Council Bluffs.
That's interesting. So it was just a major hub.
Yes, it was. All your mail was going through here too.
Interesting. And you know, I've heard a lot, there's a lot of connection between paranormal and trains and railroad tracks.
Yes.
So I've heard rumors that that is also haunted.
And I would say so. I spend more time at the jail just because my office is there. So more of these reports are coming from our employees. But I guess she's not super new anymore. She's been there a little over a year. But when she's been alone in the building, our employees heard her name being called. Other prior employees have heard footsteps above them. And it's an attic space that you can only get to if you're an employee. So that's always exciting, especially in certain areas. There's no floor to be walking on up there.
Mm.
We've had multiple reports of that from volunteers as well. And then we've also had reports in the train cars. So outside of the depot, we have a full yard with two engines, two cabooses, a lounge car, a mail car, a box car, things like that. And it seems our mail car and lounge car are probably the ones with the most activity out there. In the Omaha Club car, which we also call the lounge car, I had a team in there. Gosh, it's been a number of years ago now. Things are moving too fast. But they were investigating in there, and they were able to see the cabinet open. And they tried all sorts of things to see if it was them moving around, jumping up and down. They went back in when a train was going by just to see if it was the vibrations, and they were not able to recreate that. We've also heard footsteps in that one. I think that same team, one member was sitting in the back of the train car. There's only one way in, and he has the camera on. Hears footsteps, and he's certain it's the rest of the team just messing with him. But you can, they were all inside the building at that time.
So he's the only one there.
Yeah. And you can see there is only one entry point into that one. So you'd know if somebody's joining you.
And I just randomly saw a video online of people who were investigating, and it looked like it was at night. It looked like they had the infrared on, and they're like, this is, and they were in, it looked like inside of a train car. And they're like, this is one of the most haunted places we have ever been.
Oh, I know, those train cars are just weird. Our mail car, myself and a few others who have opened it up, because when we open up the museum, you'll unlock it, slide open the really nice heavy door, and you'll step into it to go turn on the lights inside. We have been absolutely certain that there was somebody on the far left side of the train car, like enough that you have your phone and your pepper spray out, like ready to come face to face with somebody, and there'll be nobody in there. You've literally just unlocked the car. Many of us that have worked here have had that experience.
You know, and I think that a lot of times spirits are connected. You know, we're all connected to something that we loved. It might be your home. It might be a number of places, a lake or something. But, you know, with especially trains, a lot of people who worked on the trains that and the jailer, like this is who they are. It's what they do. And it wasn't, especially back in the day, you know, people didn't change jobs the way they did now. That was your career. You would start a job someplace when you're young, and you, my Uncle Elmer worked on the railroad from when he 100%. Got his first job all the way till when he retired. Never had another job.
Definitely a story I've heard quite a few times working down there. In that mail car, you're going to have teams of about 8 working. No, they'd get on it. Cheyenne, Wyoming, change crews here in Council Bluffs, and then that train's going up to Chicago and coming back. So they're working on really long stuff, on hard jobs together. So you're going to have a lot of that energy built up in that car too.
And that's why it just makes sense to me that something like that would be haunted.
Oh, definitely.
Because they're so connected to it.
And it's going to be their home on wheels.
Yeah, that's where they want to be. And you do paranormal investigations at both locations?
Yes, we do. The jail is investigated a little bit more often. One, because again, there is just me. So we had to pick one or the other. And that one you can book through our website. And the depot or Rails West is booked by email just to make sure we don't double book anything. It's my nightmare.
Oh, that's true. And is it pretty reasonably priced? Do you limit the number of people? How does that work if somebody wanted to go in and do an investigation?
The prices are going to be different between the Squirrel Cage and Rails West. So I'll focus mainly on the Squirrel Cage, if that's all right.
Sure.
So we do about 3 options, 4-hour investigation, an 8-hour, and a 12-hour. And we have Sunday through Thursday pricing, and then Friday and Saturday. That one's just a little bit more expensive.
Because everybody wants to do that, yeah.
Yeah. For a 4-hour, we have a base price that covers a group of 4 people. And then for an 8-hour and a 12-hour, that base group is 6 people. You can bring more after that. There's just an additional fee. But honestly, I don't recommend more than 10 people at the Squirrel Cage because of all the metal. It gets very echoey. So you're just going to get a lot of interference on your investigation. It won't be as great.
I never even thought about that. But yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's definitely a hazard. The way it's built, if you're on the first floor, somebody stubs their toe and you have the other part of your team on the 4th floor and a door's open up there, you can hear everything they're saying about the table they walked into.
That's so interesting to me. And it's just the design, of that building.
Yeah. Echoes like no other.
Wow. And one other thing that I saw that I thought was a really great idea is you have Squirrel Cage Jail wines. And there's 5 different kinds of wine. I love this idea. And the names cracked me up, but you probably remember them off the top of your head.
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of fun with those. It was just one of those wild ideas one of our board members had. I'm like, wouldn't that be fun? And they investigated a little bit more to see if it was feasible. And then we were rolling out the first 2, I think, was Doing Time and Behind Bars. Those went well. So then we brought Solitary, Lockdown, and our last one is Good Behavior, which would be the Matron's Collection.
I just love that idea.
We had a lot of fun with it.
Can you buy the wines online or do you need to go there to get them?
Unfortunately, you can only buy them in our shop.
Well, unfortunately. So when you're there, you have to take a tour.
Oh,
I would
definitely
think. Because you're also obviously open during the day for historical tours at both locations.
Yes, we are.
Do you do those guided?
All year round.
Or is it kind of like, here's the basic layout and you can explore yourself?
So they are self-guided, but we have fairly detailed booklets that will describe each room that you'll go through in each floor. And then there's also information detailing the rooms in the rooms, and we have displays throughout. So probably too much information all at once. And then we're there to answer questions as well.
I can't wait to come visit it because I'm just so intrigued by the architecture of it and just the idea. In 1885, they're like, this is a great idea. Nothing can go wrong with this.
It's a wild structure. I don't know if you had a chance to look at their patent ideas. They also had one for a prison. So instead of just one rotary in a building, it was like eight off like an octopus set up. So you'd have one at the end of each leg.
Oh, I've got to look that up because I did see some of the original blueprints for the squirrel cage.
Yeah, I highly recommend looking at that. It's just wild. It never came to fruition, but just the fact that they thought of it blows my mind. I can try and find it. I know we've just looked it up on Google and it's a
Google
Scholar maybe.
And where can they get information? Where's the best place to get information about both locations?
Thehistoricalsociety.org.
It is called thehistoricalsociety.org.
Yes, that's our website, and that has both locations and also Pottawatomie and Council Bluffs history as well.
Because that's where I originally read about the Squirrel Cage Jail, and it's just so interesting to me. But
it's a fun structure.
I get why there's paranormal activity there. You know, there was a lot of emotions that were there and strong connections to the building and trauma.
Definitely.
So I'll put some links up too on the, so just look at the description and you can click right there. But this was such an interesting conversation. I'm just fascinated and I can't wait to come visit you.
I'd love to have you down there and take you through.
So for wussies like me, because I'm self-proclaimed, I'm afraid of a lot of things, although I talk about paranormal stuff all day. But like a historical tour would be awesome. I don't know if I could be in the building with just, you know, four or six other people. I don't know if I could handle it. I would try, but I think it would be interesting to do both.
It's a lot of fun. And we also do the investigations we talked about. Those are private ones, only your group in there. But we do public investigations as well. We keep those on our website and Facebook page. And we have one coming up in August. And then we'll be doing one Friday the 13th in October, which are a good way to get your feet wet if you don't want to be doing it kind of on your own. They guide you through. And we also do flashlight tours for the Halloween season. And those are not really paranormal, but a lot of fun to kick off your Halloween.
And of course, too, all of that information would be on your Facebook page.
Yes.
And so if you're listening to this episode a year from now, just go on and see when the next one's coming up. And see if
you can keep busy.
Yeah. See if you can plan a trip. Well, Kat, thank you so much. This has just been really interesting to me. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much.
And that wraps up our conversation with museum director Kat Slaughter. Get more information about the Squirrel Cage Jail Museum and the Rails West Railroad Museum at thehistoricalsociety.org. You can find out more information on the history, tours, and even paranormal investigations on the website. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it for 3 days free. Or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there, all ad-free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thanks for listening.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
Despiértate, que el $4 breakfast meal deal ha llegado a McDonald's. Incluye un sausage McMuffin o sausage biscuit, hash brown y un café caliente. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu meal deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.